listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr.
Good Mickey evening
Hunter.
And welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 26th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Sorry, caught me off guard there. I was multitasking my brain. Glad to be here, as always.
Always glad to have you, and always glad to have our live chat. We always appreciate seeing you. We appreciate your contributions. And always appreciate those that catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight, we're going to kind of have a more open discussion. And Dr. Vicki, I know you had some great thoughts on the recent newsletter that my father, Dr. Kelly, had sent out.
Yes.
And you had a great point, too, that, you know, we haven't pulled cards in at least a week, maybe a couple. I can't remember who we had before, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
But we'll pull some cards early, too. So by all means, please take us away, and I'll chime in as well on the newsletter. About change.
So, anybody wanting cards, put your name in the chat, as always. And, Michael, you've got to help me out here, because if I'm going to start talking, I'm going to miss some. I know it.
Yeah. I got Google Docs open here, ready to go.
All right. So, if for those of you, you must know that Dr. Kelly sends out a weekly newsletter. And I think that this one is rather appropriate. And I thought we'd talk about it tonight. Anything else you want to talk about, too, we can certainly be open to that. But why we resist change. Well, you know, it really boils down to control, doesn't it? You know, it's like if we're comfortable, as Dr. Kelly, you know, very clearly says, you know, near the bottom of the newsletter, is, you know, if we're comfortable, we don't want to change because then we feel we're going to lose that control.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a... It's kind of simple, but and the cognitive dissonance of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that I don't want to acknowledge other things because it means I would have to change something in my world or give up something or something I believe in. And I got to tell you, Michael, last night I had a couple of lady friends over. One I don't know very well, my neighbor, but my other really good friend, I've known her since high school, like more than 50 years. So we know each other pretty well. But, you know, the thing, politics came up, and this one lady says, you know, well, in the Bible it talks about the Antichrist and on and on and on about what the world will look like. And I said, you know, that book was like 400 years after he died, right? It was written by a bunch of diaries. And she kind of looked at
Revelation.
Me with these... Yeah, but these big deer eyes. Well, yeah, I know. And I said, actually, not. And, you know, she said that, you know, where this Antichrist would come from. I said, well, actually, Nostradamus said that he'd come from, like, around Israel. Oh. And you could just see that moment, because I'm not going to get in a big, I don't care that she's committed Christian. I don't care. She's a really good lady. But again, these things coming out, I just threw something out there. And I said, you know, I don't know. I just think the Bible's a really violent book. So that's, well, yeah, it is violent. And then we changed the subject. Mm-hmm. And it was just dropping that one thing. My friend and I, we looked at each other kind of sideways because we both caught it, right? But it was just a moment of something in her brain was clicking. And I could probably go on and on about what she might have been feeling. Mm-hmm. But maybe she didn't like somebody kind of challenging her. But I didn't challenge her. I just kind of threw out a couple of comments or questions. And then, but that would be a cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of feeling. And her feeling uncomfortable for a moment because we weren't going to buy into where she was going in the conversation. And she thought she might have control for a minute, and then she didn't. And, I mean, again, we don't sit in judgment, my friend and I. We don't care. You know, whatever you believe. Just be a good human being.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's the control thing. And there's a lot of things in her life that she has control of, but she's very unhappy with those things she's in control of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so how do you make that change or that shift? Well, you know, we sit back and say it's not up to us. You know, we're all different kinds of people, and you do what you feel you can do in the moment. But that's, to me, a perfect kind of example or, you know, why someone would resist change, because it would mean giving up, in their view, too many things. So, you know, Dr. Kelly starts out this, why do so many people resist change? And he said, it's a good question when you consider that most people of our lives include, that most of our lives include a lot of change. Whenever a question such as this comes up, Dr. Kelly likes to approach it from a fresh standpoint and get to the bottom of what it's really about. And he keeps asking why. Until he can't ask it anymore, in effect, peeling the onion layers away until it gets to the core.
And having that conversation with him.
Yeah, and that's kind of a really good way of, you know, approaching why is it I don't want to change? What's that about? But you really do have to be kind of self-aware to do that or like to be challenged, you know.
Got the teenage me going through the whys, you know, well, why? And then, well, why? And to me, it then became a challenge to find a compelling answer for why for each and every time. And then bring it back around, like from, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Anyway, little funny aside into my life and my relationship with my father and how this, where this stuff has come from, but I digress.
No, it's just a... And again, if you're not getting the newsletters every Tuesday from Dr. Kelly, just you know, write him an email, and he'll certainly mm-hmm. put you on the yeah. on the list.
If you're in the live chat and you're not getting them, yeah, let me know. We'll get you taken care of. No worries.
Sends them out just for a little food for thought, staying yeah. connected with students and folks, and I don't know, it's good little bits.
You Absolutely. Know? You know. I got two things coming to mind, and one of them is how interesting it is that I had a conversation with my father just earlier this day where I was basically stating my frustration with wanting to control things in the world that are beyond my control, which makes me unhappy, but I don't want to give up my desire for that control for some reason. Like, somehow staying linked to it makes me feel... I don't know. I can't describe it, but... And I hadn't read the newsletter yet. It's been a hectic couple of days, and I didn't until you brought it up. And you know, prior to the broadcast this evening, it touched, you know, very prescient. And the other thing is, listening to you talk about Christianity also made me think. You know, the Bible is, you know, a violent book, and that's largely because of the Old Testament, which is not the same as, you know, the Jewish books and all that. There's a whole different level of complexity. But what you can say is the Hebrew scriptures or the Old Testament or whatever you want to call them, it is very common for a religion that existed in the world, you know, for any religion that existed in the world, you know, past the Bronze Age, you know, in that kind of period where you had Assyria and Babylon and all those, it was very consistent with its time. And as the human species has evolved and changed, it also changed into something that, honestly, the Christ figure has an almost Buddha-like, you know, thing going on, right? And you could honestly say that if you have these Christians that would at least follow their own principles, the world would be a much better place. And that's all I want to say about that.
Well, we get a few comments in the chat, but we also have a lot of names. I want to acknowledge Dr. Jerry. She says, I still believe there's a difference between comfortable and safe, which she doesn't, she says, I don't agree requires control, but she's working to understand the difference. It's very true. Dr. Mike says, basically, resisting change isn't just stubbornness, but it's a defense mechanism. And I want to thank you for saying that, Mike. However, with the right mindset, communication, and support, it can become significantly less intimidating and even somewhat exciting. Totally believe that for sure, if you're willing to be excited. Damien has said change is like it's like it is a direction you want to go in or something that you feel would lead you to further discomfort. You know, we always protect ourselves first. Sometimes change is not good, but it's if it's inevitable, then we got to dig into somehow how we profit from it. And, you know, maybe profit or how we benefit from it. But yeah, absolutely. And Donna is adding, it could be also we're made up of our beliefs. And if someone gets us to change what we believe in, makes us question who we are. And that's another really good point.
Huge.
Because we tend to attach what we believe to who we are as opposed to asking who am I and then what do I choose to believe in.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of the axiom there. So,
you know,
really good comments. Thank you. We have a really great chat going on.
We do have a great chat. It's been a great discussion. And Donna, I just, you know, thank you for pointing that out, Dr. Vicky, because that is such a huge thing. Our concept of self is so much of what we believe, and the tribal nature of humanity, you know, we don't, you know, a lot of people born into geographic regions of Earth are going to plug into the religion that's common in that area. That's just how human beings are. And a big part of our belief structures and whether we're going to change is built into this concept of self. Funny little story, because we're just, you know, we need to fill some time anyway. We got some cards we're going to pull, but we got time. I know we have some cards here, and I got the names all dialed up. I hate coconut. I despise coconut. I cannot stand coconut. I got food from a local family-owned Mexican restaurant, and they had fried ice cream. And I'm like, surely I've had that before, but I can't remember ever eating fried ice cream. I want to try it. So I got it, and it's delicious. And I'm eating it, and I'm eating it, and it tastes great. And then I'm eating, what's that weird texture? I can't place it. What is that? It's so odd. And I pull out this strand of coconut. And the horror for two things. One, because it's coconut. And two, because I didn't hate it. Now, I will never admit to this outside of this. I will never admit to having eaten coconut and not hated it. I mean, the texture was off-putting, but still. And that's because hating coconut has become such a part of my brand, if you will. It's something I joke about a lot. That, like, I can't go back on it now. It's part of my personality.
Donna said you put the lime in the coconut. I think there's a song about that. Let's get started. I have Ione first.
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
I do as well, yes.
All right.
All right. So, let us see. For you, Dr. Ione, I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, I really like this. I got the chariot to partner with education I own. It's like taking what you have and moving forward. There's movement now. You know, sometimes we learn a lot of stuff and we don't do anything with it, Michael, you know. And then one day, oh, wait, I know about that stuff. And you're able to move ahead. So it's like you're calling on something in you that you've been learning and didn't understand why until now, or in very short order. So that chariot means you're also the driving force in it. So you'll be able to share that, and I don't know, it's like, ooh, a bright light's shining. I like that. We have Dr. Jerry next, I think.
All right, Dr. Jerry, for you I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves discovering the truths that are often concealed within relationship or situation. Yet, the only truth kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
I have this feeling something is going to be revealed to you about your past, Jerry, that you didn't know. I've got the King of Swords, so that King of Spades, I would say, regards a man. And because we know a little bit about your life, it could be your former partner. But something coming to light, and it's going to make sense to you. Because you're going to go, oh, now that makes sense. Like you thought it made sense before, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's like, oh, that's like a missing link. And you're going to feel like more at peace with something. So I think that's a good thing, you know, when we can tie up all loose ends. I like it.
All right, good message.
Yeah, Jackie, have I got that right?
That's what I got as well.
Yay.
We got another 30s card. We got number 38, open-mindedness. An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically, searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for credible solutions and conclusions.
I got the Queen of Hearts, Jackie. Open-mindedness, the Queen of Cups. It's, you know, when something kind of synchronizes emotionally and intellectually where it feels right, Michael, you know, that moment where you say, oh, that doesn't just make sense to me intellectually. It feels like it's more truthful. And I think, Jackie, like you're learning things or going through a process of assimilating information or belief systems, any number of, you know, areas that you can look at in your life. But it just brings a joy to your heart and knowing more about who you are. So I think, wow, good for you, Jackie. Light bulbs have gone on and you feel good. So awesome. So we have Damien next.
I don't know. Damien is a coconut lover. It's all breaking out in chat. There's a whole culture of coconut love going on
I
in the chat. It's really just
myself.
Oh my god, this is just a devastating evening for me. You know, I don't know what to do with myself. But Damien, I figure, hey, you're a good chap. Even though you like coconut, I'm going to pull you a card anyway. And I have for you number two, which I think it's been a minute since we got that one. Esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
I got the Two of Pentacles. That, hey. So in other words, that two of diamonds with that... I'm sorry, were you finished, Michael?
I just said, hey, two and two. That's all.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool. That's a movement. You know, let's say one is the beginner, two is the worker. It's like, that's motion. I like two. So that esteem and validation with this two of pentacles, it's the good balance. Being able to feel comfortable, certain about yourself, and now apply it to the world. And understand, too, pentacles or diamonds also have to do with finances. Not necessarily money in a way, but certainly where you're getting something returned, value for value. So I'd say that something is happening in your life, Damien, where you feel more grounded and confident. So it's self-certain inside, but confident on the outside to go do what you want to do now. So Wendy is saying we haven't had number two since last November, Michael.
You were meant for it. All right. Let's see. I was scrolling up, so now I'm going back to my list. We have Kevin next.
I think it's Kevin. Maybe I can inject here for a second, because Howard made a couple of really cool points in the chat. And we have a couple of minutes here.
Yeah, go for it.
He had said earlier, kind of missed that one, I guess, but he's talking about the higher consciousness than when it feels more truthful. He believes it's your higher self confirming what you just learned. I agree, totally. And it's like there's a spiritual synchronization, if you will. And so I just want to
Good shout out. That. You know,
thanks for that, Howard.
Absolutely. And you know, my father would always have a saying. You know, and he borrowed this from others. I'm sure I've heard it elsewhere. But basically, you know, you'll hear the same truth, you hear the same lesson over and over again until you're in that position that you can finally understand it. I think it's that connection with the higher self. So, Howard, I like the way you put that.
Okay, Kevin, what have you got for Kevin?
Got 44, attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
These are really good cards, Michael. The Ace of Wands, the Ace of Clubs, in a regular playing card deck. Generally speaking, it's through achievement that we, you know, that Ace of Clubs is indicating success through hard work, through finally arriving in some way. Attitude and disposition. So, you know, have to bear with me a second while I put this into words. What I get from this is what you've been learning about yourself, and maybe having made some changes, you're seeing the benefits of that. And perhaps it's in how you're interacting with others, how they're responding to you, and you're saying, oh, like this, and a certain comfort. And I want to go to communication in particular, Kevin, so I hope that makes sense to you, but I say you're on it. And there's, again, this movement in your life, so that's pretty cool. These are really good affirmations for people. Like, I think what I'm seeing here, what I'm getting is, you know, people are like making sense of their lives despite what the outside world is doing. That's awesome. You know, I think it's great.
I think we all have to do things in our lives despite what the outside world is doing.
Well, Audra, who says she loves the smell of coconut.
I know.
She's next.
And I'm not happy about it. I am furious. But I'm going to pull a card for you anyway, because we have an agreement. We are civilized people. And I'm going to pull you a card, and you get number 25. Number 25, the power of belief. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself in order to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy and proceed with conviction.
You know, now I have the Hanged Man, which is my favorite card of the deck. And I know I've told you this story before, but bear with me because I'm going to tell it again. It reminds me of Odin hanging on the tree of Yggdrasil, wanting to know the secrets of Mimir, what she knew, and the powers of women in particular, and that foresight, insight. And she said, well, you're going to have to make a sacrifice. And so she made him, and we're talking metaphorically, okay, give up an eye. And that symbolizes how he saw the world. And as soon as he could see the world differently, he was given these insights. So that power of belief is, you know, partnering with the Hanged Man is insights, that spiritual awakening, and into the who are we, you know, you know, no matter what is going on and how we're trying to live our lives, we still know who we are and the spirit of self. And we can make those sacrifices if we need to about what we believe that's extraneous and dig really deep inside to what makes sense in our life. And Audra, it's like the power of belief partnered with the Hanged Man is being able to stick really close to your principles, even in the face of challenges or people who might be of a different mindset, and you just finding ways and skills, insightfulness in how to communicate, because you're not going to get pushed over. I think that's awesome.
Oof, good stuff.
That's a big one.
You know, I tuned out to try and catch up on chat and make sure I had the cards, and then I come back in and I heard Lost and I for Fate. You're talking about Odin?
Yes, I am.
All right. I figured as much, but I just picked up. I'm like, that sounds very Odin-esque. I bet you that's who she's talking about.
You know, I'm challenging myself right now to do, I came across this really cool painting / photograph somebody had done through AI. And so it challenged me. I'm painting a picture of Odin. He's got a raven on each shoulder and wolves, the white and black wolf on each side. And I said, I'm going to paint this. Now, it's been taking me a while. And I've never painted wolves before. I've done portraits. I've done other things. But I've never done critters. And so it's like I love that mythical, mysterious, and now I've been painting his face. How do I make his face fierce, yet soft, insightful, mystical, you know, and using these certain colors? One of the things a wonderful painter years ago taught me is how to use blue in painting for depth. And because I have dyslexia and I see things flat, it's a challenge for me to see that three-dimensional kind of layer. So, I learned how to make it kind of a friend. I see things differently. And when I look deeper, you know, it's like giving up old belief systems, Michael, of, mm-hmm. Oh, you're disabled. No, you're not. You're able differently. So to challenge myself. And I know... When my girlfriend was over last night, she said, oh, you fixed that wolf's face. That looks really good. And I went, yeah, I fixed his face because it was off. But that's just it, you know. And he sits up here on my desk. I've got my paints nearby. And occasionally I say, yeah, I'm going to fix that. And I'll just go paint for 10, 15 minutes, you know, or a half hour, then put it back up again. And it's just one of those things that – It's an expression, but it's a challenge at the same time. And, of course, I'm in love with all things Viking and Scandinavian, so there you go. Yeah. But this will be Odin for my wall. I don't care if it doesn't turn out that great. It's still going to be mine.
You know, I think I probably made this comment before. You know, Viking is not a people, but it's a job description. Yeah.
It's a culture.
Well, no, it literally means pirate. So when you were a Viking, you were a pirate. That was like a job that the North people had. You would go out and you would be a Viking.
Culture.
Well, yeah, but you would be a farmer or a Viking or, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oftentimes both. But it was a job. It was like, you know, hey, he's a welder, you're a Viking, you know.
Actually, my mother's people go all the way back to the Sami, like four generations ago, way up in Finland. And my father's family is all the Vikings and Danes and everybody who crashed the United Kingdom. So, you know, they like to say they were British, but they weren't.
Well, I mean, there's a whole hodgepodge. Who really is British anyway? I mean, come on. I'm listening to this Rest Is History podcast and the lead up. We got time to vent, so... I'm listening to this Rest Is History podcast and lead up into the Norman conquest of 1066. And right now they're talking about Ethelred, which was one of the kings descended from Alfred, and the Vikings, and Sven Forkbeard is getting real mad because Ethelred messed with the Danes, they call them, even if you were Norse or anything else. They all call them all Danes. They massacred a ton of them. So Sven, even though, I mean, Vikings did their share of massacres.
But, yes, they did. They were quite... But,
very interesting. Advisor. Very interesting stuff.
Anyway, we have Donna next.
We do. We do. And Donna, for you, I have our first wild card of the evening. Wild card number 3, blocks. Mm. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, it may be time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
You got some good news coming, Donna. You got the Page of Cups here. So the pages are always the communicators, and the Page of Hearts is a feel-good, is what that is. So I've had talks with people about this lately, that when things are quiet and you don't think anything's going on or things aren't moving, it's for a reason or several that we can't be necessarily aware of. Timing is everything in the universe, of course. Remember that when you change your script, the universe and energy has to line up with that, and it doesn't happen like overnight. And I wish it did. I feel like I'd like to be bewitched and wiggle my nose, you know. But it kind of has to kind of reverberate. So if you've been working on changing things, but you don't see anything quite happening yet, it's saying, hang on, good news is on the way. So that's an affirmation to you. Quiet is not always a bad thing. All right, we have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
Oh, no. Oh, no. She loves German chocolate cake. We have this whole coconut thing going. By the way, for people that don't see the chat, first off, please join us on Wednesday evenings for the live broadcast, because the chat's fantastic. It's one of the, you know, it's, you have me, then you have you, Dr. Vicky, but the chat is that third host, you know, and I love it. But German chocolate cake is my father's favorite cake, which is ironic because it's loaded with coconut, and I hate coconut, so it's been a topic of discussion.
Now, do you like eating this German chocolate cake, though?
Oh, no, I hate it so much. God, I do. And just to throw this out, I have Wendy, and then I have Dr. Jeff, and if those are the only two names I have left.
Yes, that's what
if you want a card, throw your name in. If we missed you or anything like that, we get you. But Wendy... You are a coconut lover. Everybody's turning against me. I love you guys anyway. And you get tonight, number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Oh, I got the Seven of Pentacles, Seven of Diamonds there, Wendy. That's really good. That's always about harvest. One thing is, seven is always about detail as well. Seven likes detail. It likes to work, but it also likes accomplishment. So in that, you know, the kind of that movement, it doesn't always let you move forward without catching those details. But you're talking about energy signature, Seven of Diamonds, is things are paying off. And just even the moments where you feel like you're questioning yourself or feeling a little bit, you know, things aren't moving fast enough, just stay calm. You know, check in with your energy signature and just know that little steps can often lead to bigger places, but all those little steps are really important. So that's just a moment of encouragement for you. All right, we have Dr. Jeff, who's making all kinds of stuff at home. You know, they're even making their own coconut kind of stuff.
Well, to be fair, he did also point out that while he does enjoy the taste, he can't stand the texture.
Oh.
See, and that is how we know that Dr. Jeff is an honorable and good-hearted man. So, anyway, Dr. Jeff, always good to see you. And right now I got number 18, evolution for you. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Oh, well, how appropriate that you get the Ace of Swords. The Ace of Spades in this case is success, but through challenge. And we know that you have your own challenges, Jeff, and they has to be acknowledged. And by the way, you can find Blind Outdoorsman. I love to do a plug for Jeff. He's on Instagram. He's on Facebook. He even does little videos of, you know, baking and stuff. And he's great. So the Ace of Spades basically is about through the extra efforts that you're having to make, or you're really on a learning curve, Jeff, but it's so rewarding and so pays off. So evolution, you know, you and your wife are such good partners and so good for each other. And, you know, with her help and how you guys work together, I think is commendable and such a good friendship. And I know you're very different, but, you know, it just works. So hang in there. Howard's saying baking and stuff. Yes, they grow lots of herbs. They do healthy things. He wrote me a big message not too long ago, but I kind of got lost in the translation about how they, you know, dry this and boil that down and do these things. And so he's baking, but he loves the outdoors. And yes, for the record, Jeff is legally blind, and I know he's not alone with certain people in this chat, but he does some pretty extraordinary things, and of course, I just love him, so There you go.
Yeah, I'm a recent follow myself. Damien actually was a good shout-out to point me in that direction when we were talking about it, and yeah, good follow, recommend it.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
A lot of good stuff in chat today. You know, I got to point out for our listeners who don't see the chat, we're also finding out about Dr. Mike. Used to be a pretty good surfer. You know, stayed away from that evil coconut smelling suntan lotion. Use zinc instead. That's good stuff. But had to tangle with some big waves. Almost got wrecked on them. But interesting
so
stuff.
So I want to know, maybe Dr. Mike can write something in the chat. I saw finally that video of that shark with an octopus, like taking a ride on its back. Did you see that, Michael?
I haven't seen that.
It's making the rounds. Apparently an octopus was kind of, you know, taking a spin on the back of this shark. And somebody with a drone actually filmed it. You know, it's pretty spectacular. Anyway, so you can just Google it, guys, and see the footage. It's really cool. Because we had Dr. Mike on, for those who don't know, talking about all kinds of stuff marine. That's Howard said he saw. It's a cool video. What else have we got going on here? So I'd just like to tie it back. You know, right now I think with the state of the world, we can... Dr. Mike said he used to make really good brownies. That's funny. Again, with the state of the world, it's easy to feel unnerved and kind of unsettled. But, you know, we can't control everything. Just put your energy where you know it can affect change in a good way. And just carry on with your daily life as best you can. And if you feel like that moment you're called to action, then call to action in whatever even small way that you can do that. But we're still living our lives. Everybody's got rent to pay, your mortgage to pay, you've got groceries to buy. So you're getting about your life and your dreams as best as you can.
Very good. And what I will tell you all is something that I tell myself to try and, you know, crikey. What's that British expression? Stiff upper lip, keep calm and carry on kind of thing. Basically, it's this. As long as we avoid a nuclear war, which I know is a big ask, but as long as we avoid a nuclear war, odds are better than even that no matter what happens, your life is almost certainly going to be better than 90% of all the humans that have ever lived. It just is what it is. You know, you're talking about... Well, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One of the things we discussed last night was, see, this other, you know, visitor friend, I'm still getting to know her. She's younger than my friend and I. Mm-hmm. We were talking about how when I started school in 1960, and she goes, 1960? And we both said, yeah. of course, living in northern Alberta, Canada, and elsewhere, because my friend was actually born in England and didn't move to Canada till she was 12. And that's, I met her shortly after that. But we would have that God Save the Queen, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and then, you know, all this other stuff we had to do, salute the flag, and then duck under the desks, like we had the air raid signals, and we'd have to duck under the desk for fear of nuclear attack. Because from Russia straight down, we're straight in line. And, of course, her parents had come out of the war in England, you know, with the Second World War. She was born in 1955. And they were still doing air raids and going under desks as if that's going to help you.
Well,
you know,
I mean, it helps you if you're not close to the blast and your ceiling's falling.
No, it
doesn't help
you. You're still going to have fallout. When I got old enough, I realized that's just a dumb thing. That's just a way to help people feel like they're in control when they're not.
I mean,
it's like
not,
if a nuclear blast is coming, I'm going to go stand under it and get totally zapped instead of having to.
Makes me think of it. I wish I knew his name because I can't think of it. He's funny. I've seen him on like Instagram reels and stuff, but he's a comedian who's like, you know, I hear all these people, these guys talk about, oh, if a nuclear apocalypse happened, you know, here's what I would do and here's how I'm all set. And he's like, you want to know what my plan is for a nuclear apocalypse? To die. I don't want to live in the post-apocalyptic world. If I see a mushroom cloud, I'm driving towards it. But
you know, I know it sounds really bad. We don't mean to make light of these things, you guys, but there are certain... You're funny.
No, I mean, and I'll tell you why I'm serious in a second, but go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, because life is dark. Life is painful. Mm. When you make light of it, you are taking its power away. These are very serious issues, and they are heavy, and they hurt, and they have hurt people. And when you mock them, you joke about them, you take their power away, and you can deal with it. So that's how I intentionally make light of it. But go ahead.
That's true. That's very, very true. Dr. Mike has false sense of security.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's around just a little smidgen older than I am, so he gets it. But, you know, we've all been through our times, and maybe not this kind of a time, but other kinds of times. And I appreciate the last, in so many ways, the last 50 years, where we did achieve a lot of things to give us comfort. But now things are uncomfortable. And how then do we find comfort in discomfort? Which I think is another reason that, you know, Dr. Kelly's, you know, message was so kind of timely, that we don't want to change because we're comfortable. And this is an uncomfortable time. So we're going to still learn how to move through our lives. And, you know, Howard is saying he remembers the fear of living under the threat of nuclear war. He said, I'm glad it has shifted. Well, it did for a minute, but it's still always there. And yeah. there's so many things. I think sometimes we have more power than we're entitled to. And what we ought to have and what we think is in the name of some kind of progress. Because yeah. there's a side of humanity that, as you say, Michael, it's dark. Yeah. And life will be painful.
Yeah.
And there's no, you can't escape pain.
Nature is painful. Nature is dark. Sure. And because human beings are a part of nature, we have that brutality in us. You know, when you look at the most psychopathic, when you look at the most brutal human beings, they often are the most animalistic. They do not have, you know, empathy. And there's this thing I shared. And, you know, certain animals can have empathy, and I don't mean to take away from that or say that all animals are savage. You know, we see them all the time. But there was an article I shared, and Lord knows I can't remember the name of the researcher or the doctor off the top of my head, but she had said that you can pinpoint when human beings first had civilization because you can see in the skeletal remains when you had amended bone, that usually in the animal kingdom, when you break a leg, you're dead. You can't get to water. You can't run from predators. You're dead. It is when human beings came together and helped one another that we first started that spark of civilization. So, sorry.
You know, I befriended someone who's a boss of a friend of mine who's been very ill lately, and she doesn't know anybody here, so I offered, you know, my phone number. We had a good talk. I gave her a couple of suggestions, and I just heard back this morning that they're helping. That's good. But one of the things we talked about was sometimes we never get well. You know, it's just we manage how we are. Like some things are not ever going to be perfect or well. And that, I think, is one of the things we try to deceive ourselves with, is that if I take a pill, I'll be better. It takes work. And it takes experimenting, and it takes, so, you know, we like to go to the doctor, get better, you know. We like to go to all these professionals, and they'll take care of it for us. Well, yeah. Sometimes we have to take care of things ourselves. And this woman, she's so open to all of that, totally. But I said, if you need pharmaceuticals today, you use pharmaceuticals today.
Yeah.
Because here's the raw fact. I've said this many times before in this program. If you've even taken antibiotics, you have extended your life.
Uh-huh.
And when you said, you know, in nature, you're out there and you break a leg, you're dead. Sure, because you can't survive. So and then that appreciation of life goes hand in hand with the pain of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the value that we allow ourselves to feel, and that hopefulness that we allow ourselves to feel. And I don't mean to be talking some kind of preacher, because I truly believe this. If we didn't have hope, Dr. Mikey makes me laugh. He said, it's hard to be humble when you're so perfect in every way, though. I just love that guy. So I guess what I'm saying is, if we can accept that there's a certain state of being, we can find hopefulness and joy and certain comforts within that state of being. And because everything is a perfect result of everything put into it. As I said to a naturopath one day, we're all casualties of something. And to work toward that ideal perfectionism that we all think, you know, to be perfectly healthy, perfectly this, and we're never going to die, is stupid. You know, because everybody has something.
You know, it's funny. Today is one of those days where everything kind of clicks, because I I was talking to my father about, you know, not wanting to let go of, this sense of control, even though I don't have it. And I also made a joke with a client in my office today. I always tell all my clients that I mandate that all of my clients have to live to at least age 100. I say, I don't care what you do after that. You can live as long as you want after that. But I mandate that every one of my clients lives to be 100. And he says, what about you? You're going to live to be 100? And I said, no, I'm going to live to be 150. And we're laughing. And I said, but I'm not doing anything for that myself. I'm not eating healthy, exercising, or taking care of myself. I'm just going to depend on medical science to get me there. And so, but no, that's a joke. And of course, possible. I don't know. He's,
where we're going, it's quite possible, you know, because as we've talked on previous programs that, AI and medicine and all kinds of stuff, you never know. They're doing all kinds of research. And Damien thinks you should just eat more coconut.
Yeah, but
Howard is kind of new to the group. He's saying, who has the dog in the background? That would be Michael. He's got
true.
Like five dogs.
Oh, but I don't have them. At least one of them is a foster dog. But by the way, you know, I have a free pupper bear for anybody that wants one. You just come pick him up, you know. I'll chuck his stuff at you. No, I'm kidding. He can be a handful sometimes, but my God, he is the most joyful dog, and he's brought a lot of happiness to my life, so we're going to make sure that, thank you, Wendy. Margaret Mead is the researcher and the anthropologist who had made that point. Bear's a great dog. He's a sweet dog. And he's actually not barking because he wants to go out. He's barking because my other German Shepherd, Miracle, was in the way of the door, and he wanted to come in and be by me.
But, my friend who lives here and her husband, they work for the Humane Society. They're retired, and their old dogs passed on, and so now they take in fosters. And they had this big bulldog, anyway, bless her heart, who belonged to one of the street people who died. And so the dog was 8 months old, went to the Humane Society. Now, a couple of times that dog's gone back and forth. My friend Susan, man, she is so good at training dogs. Hand signals. I love this dog. Her name is London. But one of the things that they realized is that she had a crack in one of her legs, so she had to have surgery. So what ought to have just been like a short-time layover ended up in a nine-month stay. Mm. And she just found the perfect home.
Aww.
And it's an older guy on his own who had pit bulls before, knows about training dogs. He dumped his girlfriend with a pit bull because he thought she trained her dog better. So if you can't train your dog, I'm not living with you. Oh my God, I laughed so hard. I thought, that's a good way. I wished I'd have known that when I was young. If you can't train your animals better, then we have no business being together. That was awesome. But nonetheless, I digress. This guy is really kind of quirky. The Humane Society and their home checks and everything said, mm-hmm. Are you sure about this guy? And they said, yep, he's really great. And so he's been checking in with them. London is doing fabulous. She loves him. And so it's such great stuff. If that's a thing that brings you joy and you can contribute to the world, in 2 months here, people, just 2 months in this district alone, 10,000 feral cats were captured, neutered, and spayed.
Well, that's good.
And that's a lot of cats. Now, they wait, and these cats are allowed to go to farms and such mm-hmm. for mousing, cat
sure.
rats, and so on. And they find placements for these feral cats. And some of them, of course, are too far gone. They just let them out and kind of where they came from.
Yeah, as long as they don't procreate, yeah.
Yeah, and but that's the job. It's one of the things, if we can't do for people, certainly do it for the critters.
Yeah. And, I'm sorry, but the way I look at it is this. In the Western world, no human is starved to death without it being extraordinary circumstances for, a century? I don't know. Animals don't have anybody. They're euthanized left and right. And, they spent dogs and cats both, but, dogs, they depend on us so much. I just feel like we owe it back to them, and I'm so happy to hear that,
yep.
you know, your friend was able to find this great placement, and that is one of the great things about fostering. Is I'm the final arbiter on the home, so I go visit, I do the home check, I do an interview and all that. And so far, each one of my fosters has gone to a person that's significantly wealthier than I am and has a significantly nicer house than I do, and I don't understand why these fosters get to go to better homes than I got. But, you know.
Yeah, they're happy.
It's great to get pictures and updates for, like, years. You know, I have this pup, Nova. But I'm also going to wrap. I know we're coming to the end of our hour. We're going to wrap up here. Damien is throwing out that if I would only eat coconut, I'd live longer, and we'll never know. We'll never know. But I will tell you that during this broadcast where we're having our joking about coconut in the chat, I messaged my father. I told him that this organization has a bunch of coconut lovers in it, and I can't in good conscience remain a member. And all he said was very funny.
And, you know, I've enjoyed this hour. Sometimes you just have to have a light hour, even though there's depth to it. And coming together every week, you guys, is a joy for me. And I enjoy this time. I look forward to it. And good to see a couple of new names in the chat. People come and go. That's awesome. I know that there are people sitting back in their homes who do not sign on to the chat. I know this for a fact, people. Glad to have you here. If you've benefited in some way, even by the banter, you know, we appreciate you too and tuning in and those in the archives. So, you know, don't dismay everybody and don't let them push you around out there because, you know who you are.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. And, you know, it is a good thing that I double-checked what my hilarious joke was to my father real quick, because he'd also messaged me not too long ago saying that he will be joining us next week. We have that Wednesday. Yeah, next week's the first Wednesday of the month. So, as we're, you know, I'm not going to hold him to it, but, you know, we're going to try and get him on here. So next week, his topic that he's going to be discussing is how to get what you want. So that should be a good one. So definitely tune in for that. And, it's that time of the evening.
It is.
And I got a dog. Okay, now I think he wants something. But, when the dog jumps up and tries to bite the headset off my head, we know it's that time of the evening. We must move on. But it's been a fun conversation, you know. It doesn't always have to be groundbreaking and, you know what? Nuts to that, because this stuff is groundbreaking. Yeah. The lighter side of life and enjoying one another and the banter, that's all some of the best things. And it has been my absolute joy to have this banter, this back and forth, this, you know, dare I say, frivolity with you guys. It's been fantastic, so thank you.
Yeah, it's fun.
So, well, I know you already said don't want to push you around, but any other last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Don't let them push you around.
That's okay. We got a double. We got a double.
Yep, there you go.
Well, please join us next week when we have Dr. Doug Kelly join us with the topic of how to get what you want. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.